Okay. All right, guys. Everybody doing all right? I got at least one thumbs up. I got two thumbs up. Excellent. Well done. Two. Christina's birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christina. Happy birthday to you.
All right. That was fun. Okay. Guys, it's time to share some celebration. Anybody got any celebrations to share? I know we've got one. That's huge. That's huge. You didn't do it on your own? Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What else, guys? Any celebrations? Yes. Man, luckiest guy in the world right there. Well done. It's a week from Wednesday, right? Any other celebrations, folks? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Aunt Shirley. Awesome. What else, guys? Anything? Hey, Doug, you pointed at me and mouthed, and I didn't. Yeah, with you. Yes, birthday girl.
Rob and I will have our 4-year anniversary
off Thursday. All right. You're one tough woman. I'm kidding. Where's Rob at? Sorry, Rob. So. All right. What else, guys? We have gluten-free bread. Yeah. I'll talk just long enough to let it defrost. So, all right. What about announcements? Here we are. Yes. Okay, going along with that, I got a note that Brandon's house church is going to be starting back up soon.
Wednesday.
Is it starting this Wednesday? A Wednesday or a week from this Wednesday, but certainly a week from this Wednesday, they're going to have a meal here, and then they're going to be passing out flyers. So even if you're not a part of that house church or whatever, you still are welcome to come, join in on that meal, and be a part of that. And that is going to happen a week from this Wednesday on the 19th.
Yes.
You know,
at
6 p.m. 6 p.m., all right. And I've got flyers. I don't know why I've got these, but these are the flyers. So I'm going to put them right here. So anybody that needs flyers or knows anything about what's supposed to happen, they're there. You're talking about the morning that we're handing out the coats, turning it into.
I don't know why not. They're also going to have breakfast.
Do you know who is the lead? I mean, we know Brandon's the lead, but he's been passing some of that off. And I know there was some mention of a person in charge of that handout. No, there's. You're doing food. Okay, so somebody tried to communicate to someone on that team, you know, whether something like that's appropriate. Okay, all right, awesome. Sounds great to me. What else do we have to share? Announcements and such. Sorry. Sorry.
The ladies get together overnight thing is November 4th in the evening. We'll meet here at 5:30 and come back at 10 p.m. There's 9 spots on either a pull-out couch or a bed, a
Is that like a Friday or something? Or?
Friday night through Saturday night we'll come back.
Okay.
So,
all right. Very good. Jess.
Yeah, I just wanted to say for people who remember Tim and Mandy Sherbuck.
Yeah.
Baby
yeah.
Lucia, she's born. What's that?
I didn't know they were pregnant.
Yeah, well, I have a baby.
It's a short 9 months, so. All right. Eric. So you're inviting people to come paint with you? Is that what you're saying? Pray and paint. Pray and paint. P&P. Okay. All right. All right. Awesome. Other announcements? Praying. Nice, Doug. Well done. That's why he's our elder. That's what he brings. Excellent. All right. Robin. Everything's related to church, right?
I'm going to be at the Columbus Bar finishing up decorating for Halloween. And I could use an extra hand if someone wants to come hang out with me, get to know me.
When are you doing that?
Well, after lunch. So
okay, today. Okay. So if you want to go to a bar and hang up Halloween things, you can do that today. All right. All right. Excellent. All right. What? All right. Good. Welcome, you guys. Welcome. Okay, I withdraw that. No welcome yet. Charmin. Oh, hey, welcome. Welcome. Okay, so you guys were here. And Charmin asked me if her family was here, and I said no because I thought I knew her family, but I was wrong. So welcome, welcome. Yeah, awesome. All right. So you've come here to learn what not to do. All right, excellent. Very well. Okay, awesome. All right. Yeah, yeah. So I was just getting ready to say I'm sure we have some first-timers here, and I think we do. So welcome, first-timers. Are there some other first-timers here? Anybody? All right. Rob, thank you. Great, great. Welcome. And my name's Quinn. This is the living room, and I sure hope you guys feel at home here today and feel welcome. We sure try hard here, make an effort to do life the way God would want us to do that, but we don't always accomplish that. I'll just be straight up with you. So we're trying hard, and by all means, if you decide you want to be a part of this community, just keep coming back, and we will help you to become integrated and be close to this family that I love very, very much. I'm getting ready to put something up on the slide here, up on the screen, and I don't want you to get all theological on me and try to say the answer you're supposed to give, but I just want you to say the answer that if you were at the Colts game and someone told you to finish this sentence, what you might say, or if you were at work and someone told you to finish this sentence, what you might say. Life will be better when. Life will be better when. For me, life will be better when I get to McDonald's and get another Diet Coke. Right? That's pretty much what my life revolves around ever since they became a dollar. Life will be better when. You can talk. It's an open forum here right now. Life will be better when you get a job. Yep.
Finish school.
Sell a house, get land in the country with ducks. All right. Life will be better when. Find somebody to marry. All right. Oh, stop. Don't go any further. You're going to completely ruin my day. Eric. Oh, you guys. Yeah, you went a little theological on me there, so. life will be better. I said Diet Coke. Maybe when my job gives me the raise I want. Right? The lottery? Life will be better if you win the lottery? So people go, how many people? I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but if you play the lottery, you probably think life will be better if you win the lottery, or you wouldn't play the lottery, probably. Life will be better. Do you? What'd you say? Life will be better when you're healthy. That's probably near and dear to you, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. Life will be better when you can get. See, you went theological on me again. See, so yeah. Awesome. Life will be better when you can get on your knees and pray again. Do you think this question or this line that you can fill out however you want, do you think this drives our lives, drives our thinking in the world? Does it drive anything for you guys? I think it's huge. I think it's what, you don't actually say this, of course, but I think you think this like almost every day. Life will be better. And then we kind of fill that in. Life will be better. Do you think it's a line that is more on the spectrum? Is it more selfish or is it more holy? Where's it at? Where's it at for you? Life will be better. What'd you say, Jess?
Misguided.
It's misguided. Misguided. Want to sell your house and have another house? Is it misguided? It's all right. Misguided. Is it more selfish? Is it more holy? Is it something we ought to be thinking about? Should we be questioning our answer to this line or the way we would fill in this line? I think it's huge. Oh, sorry. Okay, we're going to have to readjust things. One moment. My spouse has spoken. So I will react accordingly. All right. Crank me up, Greg. Keep going. I'm on here. Keep going until they hold their hands on their ears. All right. Is that better? Now you certainly can hear me now. All right. Welcome. If this is your first time here, no, I won't do that. All right. So life will be better. Life will be better. Yeah.
I think it could go both ways, though.
Oh. Maybe. Maybe not. Hmm. All right. Alex goes both ways. All right.
Okay, that's cool.
Life will be better when we do what? How should we live? What should we want? How do we know? How do we know what we should want? That's a question that I think is fair to ask. It's like, how should we know what we should want? How do we get there? I think even stepping back one point, or back to this original comment, the word better. Can we even agree on what better is? Can we agree on what better? What is better? Life will be better. What do you guys think better is? Better is a relative term. That's, I think you nailed that one. Shirley. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm always amazed, at the people in the world that get by on a very small amount of money and seem to be relatively pleased, and yet the number of people I work with that actually have quite an income, and yet they're always talking about how they're just making it, and they just wish, you know, life would be better if life would be better. Eric. Better is feeling secure. Better. Better is. Okay, I want to give you my definition of better, and this is super churchy, but I tell you, I really, really think it's important. I think better is whatever God wants for us. Kind of churchy, right? You can't argue it very well because someone says, well, what is better? And I say it's whatever God wants for us. So what does God want for us? Well, whatever the Bible says. Well, what's the Bible say we should want? Well, whatever God wants for us. It's one of these things where it doesn't have a lot of like scientific depth to it. I'm saying this because of experience. I'm saying this because of a life that I've lived and a life that I've experienced through others that they have lived. Better is whatever God wants for us. Whatever God wants for us. So I'm going to try to make an argument for you guys. We're going to start off biblical here. Try to make an argument for why this is real. So let's just start in the Bible. Let's talk about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. What did God tell them and want them to do? What's the big story that always jumps out? Anybody remember? I know you remember. Come on. There's a fruit involved. Okay. What happened? What did he tell them not to do? Don't eat the fruit. What did they do? And how did it go from there? Now, women moan and whine when they're having babies and the whole deal. It all, guys don't want to go to work because it's hard. All thanks to the stupid apple, right? What about Abraham and Isaac? Abraham and Isaac. God told him to go sacrifice his son. Go put his son on a fire and burn him up as a sacrifice. Now that's completely ridiculous, right? I mean, if someone were to come tell any of you guys that have kids that I want you to go kill your child for me, you guys are not going to buy into that, right? I mean, you shouldn't in most cases, I would hope. God tells Abraham to do that, and what does Abraham do? He went for it, right? He had him on the fire. It was a go. The whole deal was, and in the end, did it work out okay for Abraham? Yeah. So we got Adam and Eve, didn't do what they should have done, and things didn't go so well. Abraham and Isaac did do the right thing, and things went pretty great. What about that? We were talking about this last Thursday in our Bible study. Israelites are hanging out at the bottom of this mountain, and Moses goes up on the top of the mountain. He's up there for a while. And they decide that they want to take matters into their own hands. Anybody remember that story? What'd they make? A golden calf. Did they think God wanted them to do that? No, did things work out well for them? Something about a desert and 40 years and lots of sand and not so good, right? Didn't do what God wanted. Things didn't go well. David and Bathsheba. David's up cruising around on the rooftop of his building where he shouldn't have been anyways. Checking out the neighbors, sees this good-looking gal next door, not wearing anything or very much. I think that's what God wanted him to do. Did God want him to take action on that? No, he knew better. Things go well. Her husband ended up dead. He ended up having a whole series of lies and things that went on. Things didn't go well, right? When you do things God's way, it's better. It's been my experience. And it's what I would like to share with you guys. I want to talk a little bit about the kids. I talked to the kids upstairs about this a couple weeks ago, but it's what I really want to share with you guys. God's way is better. And it's hard for us to back down to that point and accept that. It's an interesting week this week. Interesting week this week. Anybody know that guy? Anybody worship that guy? Oh, there's a few of you that do secretly. Secretly, right? Steve Jobs. Anybody read any of the newspaper articles? By the way, if you don't know who Steve Jobs is, he's essentially the founder of Apple Computer. And so when you hear about things like iPods and iPhones and I Love Myself, and no, that was completely inappropriate, no. All these cool devices. In fact, I've got one in my pocket. I'm a big fan, so I carry one around. He is certainly a key person in putting those products in our hands, and this week he passed away. Anybody read any of the articles about him this week? What'd you read?
That he was placed up for adoption as a baby.
Yeah.
Was adopted and later,
Yeah. Yep. Some really, really nice things came out this week about him. Some really nice things. Anybody else hear anything interesting this week? Yeah. If he dropped what? If he dropped... Yeah, there were a number of comments this week kind of related to that loosely, yeah. So, yeah. No, we're okay. It's all good. Oh, here we go, yeah. We finally got a holy person that's going to talk. Yeah, he had a lot of really crazy things happen in his life, and he's the kind of guy, and I think this is admirable. He's the kind of guy, you know, that literally would take lemons and make lemonade. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He had that self-confidence and that follow-through to do some really great things. There's a guy writing a biography. It's going to be out later this month, a guy named Walter Isaacson. And Walter went up to him, and he asked him a question. This happened 7 years ago when Steve first asked him about writing this biography. He said, "Why do you want me to write this biography? You're a very, very secretive guy. You're a guy that doesn't reveal to people very often who you are and what's inside of you. Why would you want me to do this?" And I'll tell you, it almost brought tears to my eyes. Here's what his response. This is what Steve said. And I saw this in a lot of different articles, quoted in different ways, but Steve said, "I wanted my kids to know me. I wasn't always there for them, and I wanted them to know why and to understand what I did. I wanted my kids to know me." Now, I know some pretty wise people. I work with some people that are pretty wise folks. I've been around a lot of leaders and churches and different things over the years. I can't think of a single one of them that if I went to them and said, "What do you want me to do to make sure my kids know me in my life?" They would say, "Make sure you get someone to write a good autobiography of you so that when you die, they can read about it." Right? It's being quoted as being a very good statement. And in some ways, I mean, there is some goodness in there. I don't want to be negative. And, you know, it is a very sad week with him passing away, so I don't want to be disrespectful either. But it kind of makes me hurt. Because one thing about Steve Jobs was he was so good at what he did. And he was good at a lot of stuff. Computers and Pixar and thinking outside the box completely. He was so good that he didn't rely on others very often. It's pretty clear from this statement right here, this is an area where he could have been better, certainly. Some wisdom, some guidance from some people around him. If he had stopped and talked to those folks and said, "Hey, I love what I'm doing, I love my company, but I feel disconnected from my family, I'm afraid they don't understand what's going on." Some good wisdom certainly could have come his way with people giving him some guidance about maybe a different way to do things. Do you think he loved his kids? Yeah, I think he was crazy about his kids. I think he was crazy about his wife. In fact, lots of people commented about this week, how much he talked about his wife and kids. And yet, he was so dedicated to the company, he struggled to stay connected with them. Life will be better when we learn from our past. Life will be better when we learn from wise people. Life will be better when we learn from the Bible. And we live out what we've learned. And this is where the rubber hits the road. We can yak and yak and yak and talk about this. I'll even bet you if Steve Jobs were alive today and we could go back and ask him about this phrase, I bet you he would tell you that he realizes that if he wanted to have a better relationship with his kids, he knows exactly how to have a better relationship with his kids. Spend less time at, one infinite loop road, wherever it is that he worked, and spend more time with his kids. He knew that. He knew that. He actually knew these things, probably. It's this living out. It's actually doing it. It's really, really a struggle. Most of the things we struggle with in life, I think we actually have a pretty good sense that they're not good things for us. We usually do, not always. And when we're not sure, if we go back and we look at our past, say, what have we learned from our past? We go talk to people that are wise, not our best friends, not the people that always pump us up, people that we know have wisdom, a few gray hairs, they've been around the block. And then also don't be hesitate to look at the Bible. As I talked to the kids a few weeks ago about this, I wanted them to understand that in life, there are times that you're not going to know what to do, and you're not going to be sure about what to do. And there are times like that, that following, even though you don't understand, is absolutely huge. As I get older, there are things I read in the Bible that make so much more sense to me. When I look at the Ten Commandments now, it makes so much more sense to me. Because the Ten Commandments weren't meant to be a hammer. We love to use the Bible as a hammer. We like to say the thou shalt nots and all this kind of stuff, and then people roll their eyes. The Ten Commandments were all about how do we make our lives better. They weren't there to hurt us. They weren't there to make life miserable. The Bible's not something to make life hard or to take all the fun out of life. It's actually there to make life better. As I talk to the kids, I want them to understand that there's going to be times that they're not going to really know what the right decision to make is. They're not going to really completely understand, like, why should I not have sex before I get married? Why is that a good idea? What's that all about? They're not going to understand all those things. By the way, I didn't say that to the kids. Just in case these are sixth graders and below, so I didn't go there. But they're not going to understand that necessarily. I've found many, many times in life there are things that don't make sense to me. A few years ago, I made a really, really good decision. And I struggle with this decision in holding to it. So I struggle with living this decision out. But I made a decision that I could not be married to Jill. There she is. I could not be married to Jill and be better and be my best as long as I was in the marriage for me. And I'm telling you, that was a stinky decision because that wasn't what I signed up for, all right? All right, most of us get married. I was talking to someone yesterday about this, so I won't embarrass him. Most of us get married because of what we want to get out of the deal. At least that's what I did. That's what I was after. I want this. Life's going to be better when I get a spouse that's going to for me. And yeah, I'm a good person. I'm also going to feed into their I'm not going to take advantage of them. But I'm certainly after this and this and this and this and this. That's what I'm in it for. And I finally got to the point that I realized that that thinking was all about life will be better when I get what I want. And I had to finally back off at one point. And I can remember the day. I just remember it so clearly where I finally said to God, I said, God, I don't get this. My marriage is awesome. Most people would look at my marriage and say, hey, everything's great, but I'm realizing that my marriage could be a lot more and that it's because I'm trying so hard to make it what I want it to be. And I just backed off and I said, God, I'm going to put my wife on a pedestal and I don't care what happens, what she says, what she does, I'm going to keep her on that pedestal. And I'm not going to walk away from her to walk to God. I'm going to hold her hand, and I'm going to walk with her toward God. And whenever I'm walking to God so fast that I feel like, at least that's what I convince myself of, that I feel like I'm walking away from her, like I'm like pulling her, I've got to have faith that that's God telling me, slow down. You guys are not to do this independently. You're to do this together, bonded. She shouldn't be running ahead of me. I shouldn't be running ahead of her. We should be running together. And I can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense at all because what that really is a recipe for taking all the fun out of life. I mean, doesn't it almost sound gloomy to hear me describe it? It's like, dude, you are whooped, right? It's like, that is, like, how could that be fun? And it was freakish how within about 3 months, our relationship just went from a good marriage to, like, I could not think of anything better than an evening one-on-one with Jill. And by the way, guys, those statements will score big points. Say those any chance you get. Those are, see, look how happy she is. See, I've got a week's worth of kudos out of that one. So, no, it was a little bit why I said it, but just a little bit. There are times that it's not going to make sense to you. It's not going to make sense to you why we do what we do. Life will be better when. I want you guys to watch this little clip. This is the movie Click. This was pointed out to me by the same person I was talking to earlier about yesterday. And I've not seen this movie, but I went off and did a little research. And it's about a guy, Adam Sandler, who's going through life. He is using a remote to skip the parts of life that he doesn't want to experience. I want you guys to watch this. This is right at the end of the movie, so.
Just getting ready for this meeting.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Okay, absolutely. I'll take off for you.
I'd like to spend more time together. All of us. Take you out for ice cream. How's that? I know your mother won't come, but you, Samantha, Grandpa, Grandma, that'd be nice, huh?
There was something was funny with you today.
Papa, take a seat. Let me get you a water, okay?
Where are we sitting for? You need to go, Pop. Drink this.
All right. Drink some water.
What's going on? Grandpa died, Dad. He died a while back now.
No. Don't say that. Where was I?
You crying?
What happened?
Nothing. You know, he just got old. That's life. You're born and you live and you die.
Man, I gotta go.
Hey, hang on. Susie, push my next meeting.
No, do your meeting. It's fine. I'm just dizzy. I'm dizzy from the operation.
You're gonna make me cry, Dad.
Okay.
You don't have to go.
You look good. All right, goodbye.
It won't take you there.
Take me where?
To the moment he died. You weren't there.
Of course I wasn't. Can you take me to the last time I saw him, please?
Hey, Dad.
Sorry to bug you. Would you mind looking at my shopping mall design again? This one is cheaper. But if you check this out, you'll see it has a much better natural flow.
Cheaper one. Like I said, I just let me do my email.
Yeah, you're right, Dad.
He ain't right. You're a schmuck. Better. Look at it.
Surprise. Hey, Grandpa. Oh, my God.
When did you get so handsome? So, Michael, I had a wonderful idea. Your mother's playing canasta with her friends tonight. I thought, oh, what a great opportunity. You, me, and Ben should go and have a boys' night out.
Can't.
What do you mean you can't? You have to eat sometime. We could go. We could whistle at pretty girls.
I'm down for that.
See, he's down. I don't know what it means, but he's down.
Hey, please.
Don't give me that finger. I'll make you a deal. If you come, I'll show you the quarter trick.
Will you look at the man?
I'll tell you the secret.
No.
Don't you want to know how I do the stupid trick? I've always known. Can you let me do my work? You've always known. You're pathetic. I'm so sorry I botched it. I love you, son.
See you later, Grandpa. I love you.
Dad.
I love you too, Dad. I'll miss you.
You know that.
Goodbye.
All right. Cheery little scene. What's the point about Adam Sandler and skipping the parts of life that are difficult? What's the point? What's the problem with that? Miss out on the joy, you say? Are you guys crying? Life will be better when you don't miss out on all of life. One of the things I found when I made a stronger commitment to Jill was I realized that the difficult times are actually part of the better. You're not going to figure that one out on your own. I guarantee you, you're not going to figure that one out on your own. It's going to take God or someone awfully close to God to help you get a hold of that and grasp that. When I think about life will be better, I really like this better. I think we should quit thinking about life will be better, and I think we should start thinking about life is better. Cheryl Lee said the thing about better being this futuristic thing. It's a real problem. It's a problem where we don't accept that it can be good here and now. It's a problem if, as a Christian, we decide and we don't really grasp this concept that God's kingdom can be joyful starting right now. Yeah, we're in a world that's going to make things happen that aren't going to be fun. But that's part of it, and that's okay. And life will actually be better when we live through that hand in hand with God and we walk through that close to Him. It's a real mistake for us to live looking to the future that things are going to be better and not realize that they can happen here and now. As individuals, because that's where it has to start for us, we've got to begin to grasp that life can be better when we connect with God and we start making right decisions. As friends, life will be better when we start acting like true friends. Around this place, one thing that I really think is important is that we be a group of people that can be leaned on, that can be trusted, that we not be a group of people that says, you know what, when this place kind of gets where it's not jazzing me up anymore, you know? I'm kind of like not so hip with this place anymore. It's not maybe as cool as it was at one time. I think I'm kind of done with this place. That's not what a friend does. That's not what a parent does. How would you like it if your mom and dad treated you that way, you know? Some of you guys have some really awesome parents, and you know, no matter what, you can go back and lean on them. I know you don't all have that, but some of you guys have that, and you know what a joy that is to know you can always lean on them. As friends, we want to be that way. As a community, we want to be that way. We want to always be that community that we can lean on each other and we can trust. And we can know that from one day you're not going to be one person and the next day you're going to be a different person. A few weeks ago, we had a discussion with some of the deacons and we were going through some of the deacon qualifications. And that just really got me thinking about, again, the Bible and setting up these rules and regulations. And so often we want to set up a set of things out of the Bible and say, these are here to tell who can do what and who can't do what, and we try to get real legalistic about it. And I really stood back and I read those rules and regulations. I said, what are these things all about? And as I got into them, what I really found out is that it's God's wisdom. He's saying, you guys need to be looking up to leaders in your community who have a great reputation, that are commonly thought of as having a good reputation. You need to have people in your community who are highly respected and trusted. They need to be people. You know, why do they bring up this thing about being a husband and a father and these types of things? Well, because God is saying there's wisdom in someone that leads their family well, also being someone that will understand how to lead a broader family well. There's wisdom in that. God also says it because words are easy, works are hard. Words are easy. We can all say the right things. We can go around and tell everybody how great God is and how we're going to do all these things for him. That's the easy part. It's easy to take the reservation. It's hard to keep the reservation. You Seinfeld fans? Yeah. It's my favorite episode of all times. It's easy to take the reservation. It's easy to say all the right things in the right company. It's hard to keep it. And that's why God is saying, look for those folks in your community that you can really tie up with. Herb Hale's not here today. Herb's been around TLR for a couple years now. And that's kind of what it takes. It takes a year or two sometimes for these types of relationships to bond. But Herb, I've realized, is a guy I can lean on. Herb is there. I mean, he is a really, really great friend. And I think that's something we should all strive to be, is that kind of friend, that kind of brother, that kind of sister. All right? It is 7 after. We've got 7 minutes before the parents need to go get the kiddos. I don't have juice up here today, so we're going to do half communion. Can you guys deal with half communion? All right? All right? That may seem a little odd, but I think I'm going to go with it. I've got 4 pieces of bread here. And the truth of it is, I believe, I love the symbolism of communion. I think it's just awesome. And there's so many different ways you can think of it. But it was the people separating themselves from God. It was the people deciding that a guy that lived a life exactly the way God wanted him to. This is God on earth being Jesus. It was the realization that we, as in our human form, can't deal with that. And this bread is supposed to represent, in one way, his flesh. The fact that he was hung. The fact that nails were driven through him. And they talk about it being a break. And you think about how that tearing of that bread was an attack on God. And something we need to remember. What I want us to do is, I've got a few pieces up here. We also have a small piece of gluten-free bread up here as well for somebody that needs that. I want to just take the next 5 minutes, and you guys can come up, tear off a piece of this. And what I want you to think about is 2 things. How you allow yourself to be torn away from God. And then I want you to think about think of one thing. What is the one thing that is tearing you from God? That needs to be gone. What is the thing that you've convinced yourself, life is going to be better if I do this? And the truth of it is, if you'll be honest with yourself, honest with God, honest with the community you're in, it's exactly the thing that's taking you away from God. It might be work, hobbies, something you do on the side, something you do in secret. What is the thing that needs to be torn out of your life so you can get close to God? I'm going to pray. You guys can just come up here and tear off a piece as you want to. And then I'll make an announcement at a quarter after that the parents need to go up and get the kids. All right? Let's pray. God, I'm sorry for the times that I lose it. And I go to work and I think about work all day. And I think about the importance of work. And I forget about the importance of you. God, I'm sorry for the times that I forget about the importance of being a father and a husband and doing that to bring glory to you and to lift my family up, and instead I'm doing it for my own selfish reasons. I'm sorry, God, for the times that I haven't been a friend to these people here, people that are should be my close friends, and yet sometimes I don't treat them like close friends. God, I will ask that you'll open my eyes, that you will open my ears so that I'll listen. I'll listen to your word. I'll read it. I'll listen to your spirit as it pulls me and guides me. I'll listen to wise friends around me who have been through this walk before and have wonderful things to say about how much better life will be if I just walk the walk that you want me to walk. As a community, God, we ask that we will be drawn close to you in everything we do, and that we will please you, and that we will make your name as glorious as it should be. God, we love you, and we take this time and eat this bread together as a celebration of what you've done for us and what you continue to do for us. God, we love you. Amen.